grace, mercy, and peace to you this morning from God our Father, His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who gathers us together in worship. Today, under the theme, One Man, we want to look at the amazing adventurous journey leading from the tree of death to the tree of life. We're going to be looking at how we became hopeless through one man and then became hopeful through another man. We're going to see how, for God, all it takes is one man. But at the same time, what we need to understand is this. Every single human being was created with the ability or influence to influence the future. In other words, how we live today sets the stage for future generation. How we live our lives today sets the stage for those who are coming after us. And we see this even in our own DNAs, where you go to the doctor's office and he checks you and he asks you this question, is this sickness in your family line? Or sometimes you went and fill out the doctor's form that he gave you, and they have all these lists of things on it, and they were asking you questions about these different illnesses, and then asking you if it is something that you inherited from somebody before you. These are the kind of things that we look at and we determine that the future is being decided by us who are alive today. And so it was with Adam. One man God created. And this one man shaped the destiny for all of us sitting in this room. So from the Old Testament reading this morning found in Genesis 3, we find the story of the fall of the human race through one man, through the one man, Adam. This one man, Adam, was given by God the authority to determine the eternal future or destiny of the entire human race. In Genesis 1:28, it reads, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And in Genesis 2, verses 15 and 17 through 17, it reads, and the Lord God took the man, put him in the garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. So God did not hide it. He made it known. So from one man, Adam, had absolute control and authority over God's entire creation. He's naming animals. He's taking care of things. He's caring for eternity. All of that was in the hands of Adam. He had our eternal destiny in his hands. And so, as it goes, it was not until one day when Satan visited the garden and met with Eve under the tree of knowledge and good and evil. And then here comes the four things that every man, woman, boy, or girl needs to pay attention to when we are being tempted by the devil. Because the devil is busy, and he is still as busy as he was from the very beginning of time, trying to seek whom he may devour. And he's doing that very uniquely and craftily, trying to get God's people under his wings. Like he did in the first time, he's still doing now, trying to get God's people under his wings. So this morning, we want to look at some of the things that happened in the Garden of Eden through this one man, and then also look at what happened through another man. So the first thing we want to look at is the conversation. In Genesis 3, verse 1, it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Now, look, the reality is Satan always starts his conversation with believers using the word of God, because his intention is to twist the word, because once he can get the word twisted, then he's able to get us to fall from grace, to fall away from the truth. So he's always there trying to twist the world, the word rather. We live in a world now where the churches are buying into the culture and the system that are all out there instead of sticking with the word of God. You see, because if the devil can sway us, then he got us. And he's always trying to do that every time he's coming, seeking. The Bible says he's the tempter, and he comes to seek whom he may destroy. All right? The Bible, Jesus Christ, lets us know that the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus says, no, I have come so that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus brings us abundant life this morning, and the devil wants to steal away abundant life from us. And the way to do that is to make us to believe half, just half of the word, not the entire word, but half of it. And if we can just believe only half of the word, he's got us. And now we need to stand firm in this word, my friends, and not allow the evil one to come and take it away from us. Whenever a conversation starts playing in your mind and you are having two opinions, on a particular issue, you're having two opinions on it. You know what God's word says about the situation, and you know what the world says about the situation. You need to begin to hold firm to what God says about this situation and stick on it, because when the evil one sweeps us away, then he traps us and he places us into a snare. And it's exactly what we see happening in the Garden of Eden here. He comes to the woman, not talking about anything else. He brings her to the tree, the very tree that God says don't eat of, is where the conversation is going on, because he wants you to gaze and stare at that thing. All right, while he talks to your mind. All right, so he's trying to get her to convince her to walk away. So he starts the conversation. And the conversation is because the conversation is intended to convince us to walk away from God's word. And so all these many things are playing in your mind as the evil one is speaking thoughts of evil in our minds. And then finally, we fall prey to that. But then let's look at the consideration in Genesis 3, verse 6-8. It says, when a woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom. Notice that her mind and emotion were already seized in this moment. The mind and emotion has been carried away. This is the time we are living in today where everybody wants to feel good. Everybody wants to feel good. And if it feels good and if it pleases you and if it is desirous, you go ahead and get it. It's the kind of mindset that we have today. And because of that, because of this kind of mindset that we have, this is why we have all these advocates for right movements. Everything that is wrong, we try to make them right. And we have this right and that right and this right. And once the word right is placed in front of that evil, it is good. It becomes good. All right? And but we cannot allow the evil one to play on our minds, our feelings. Our feelings is not what justifies whether or not we are walking in faith. It is not by our feelings that we get to know this. It's not about feeling good, folks. It's not about feeling good. Truth is never processed by our minds and emotions. It is processed by faith. The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. You see, sometimes the word of God would speak something to us that doesn't seem right, that may not make sense to us, but because God says it, we believe it, and that settles it. That's how we need to live our lives, no other way. Because our emotions can become deceptive at times. Our feelings can become deceptive at times. Our minds can become deceptive at times, and that's why we need to hold close the living word of God and not allow the evil one to steal it from us, because it is the reason why he comes, to steal that word. Don't allow him to do that, because it is through that word that we can build. Through that word, we can maximize our spiritual potential in God, and we cannot allow Satan to play with the word of God. We need to protect our mind using the word of God. The Bible talks about the helmet of salvation in Ephesians 6, verse 12. And Paul talks about this helmet of salvation because when you put a helmet over your head, the helmet protects your head if you fell or something of that matter. But we are wearing a spiritual helmet to protect our minds. And the spiritual helmet we are wearing to protect our minds is the living word of God, folks. The church has nothing else to lean on. The church has nothing else to trust in. The church has nothing else to rely on but the living word of God. Nothing else. Give God a hand of praise for his word this morning. The word. So look at the consummation. In Genesis 3 verse 6b, it says, she took some and ate it. She also gives some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Now this is the man, the one man that God had entrusted everything with, Adam. He's right there with his wife when all of this situation is going on, and he did not seize the moment to take control of it. We are living in a time now where many homes have gotten destroyed because the father is not standing up to be the man of the house. And this is a time when men need to stand up and raise their children. Stand up as husbands in the home. Stand up as the man. And because God is speaking through you to your families. And there's a need for that in this time and in this generation. Because evil is trying to come and pervade our system. But we cannot allow that to do so, because why? We are Christian men and we must stand for the truth. You have to understand that you as the man of your family is responsible to raise your children in the stature of the fullness of God's grace so that tomorrow they can make positive impacts in society. And so you cannot allow the evil one to come over there and try to talk his talks in your home, in your family. And this is exactly what Adam allowed the devil to do. And he came in there with all of these suggestions, and the Bible says he ate of the fruit as well. What we see here is the power of sin, folks. Sin is powerful. We don't have any dominion over it, but I know someone who has power over it, and his name is Jesus Christ. He has the power over it. And that's why we are in Christ. We live in Christ. We abide in Christ. We exist in Christ. And the devil cannot do us no harm for those who walk in Jesus Christ. So what we see here is how powerful sin is, the influence of sin. Sin is influencing our culture, influencing our systems, influencing our churches in this time and age. It is so important that the church rises up to this truth and stand by the word of God, because there are just so many suggestions out there. And you see, when it comes to God, there are not so many suggestions. There's only one, and it's the word of God. That's it. It settles it, the word of God. And so he went and ate of it because of the influence of sin. Adam was put in charge, and instead of leading, he is now following. He's following instead of leading. And so when the church needs to be leading the world that we find ourselves in today and not following the world. But unfortunately, a lot of us are following the world today. And so, you know, you're talking to sometimes I'm talking to my kids at home, and we're talking about a particular subject. And they come in, I'm telling them, this is wrong. You can't do it that way. Daddy, everybody's doing it at school. So just because everybody's doing it, don't make it right. All right? We live by faith. And I showed them the word of God. Yes, said in the word, we live by faith. We don't live by the culture. We don't live by the systems out here, we live by the living, risen word of God. Okay? So Adam did not allow that to happen. Sin seeks to have a ripple effect on society, as we see from the Garden of Eden. When Adam failed, that had a ripple effect on society. Every man fell as a result of Adam's fall. So the question is, we need to be careful. We need to be watchful. You see, I said it here on Wednesday evening during the Ash Wednesday service, that sin killed Jesus. Sin is a terrible thing. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. What that means is the penalty for sin is death. Anyone who messes around sin will die. And since God demonstrated it when he placed his son on the cross and killed him because of our sins. And I said on Wednesday night that Jesus did not die so that he can show how godly he was. But he died for our sin. So sin is powerful and we need not mess with it, because while it's going to kill us, according to the word of God. Let's look at the condemnation now. Genesis 3 verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made covering for themselves. In their condemnation, there are a few things to consider here. As they got condemned, the first thing is that they were aware of the situation. As the Bible said, God says that the day you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. And they were aware of the falling state from that very moment. Man died from the very beginning when they ate of that fruit. It's the same thing today. Same thing today. When a baby is born in the hospital, from that very moment the baby comes, because of sin, the baby starts to die. All right? The baby starts to die as the baby ages and get older and fades away because of sin. The ripple effect of sin. David says, in sin did my mother conceive me. Every person born of a woman is a sinner. Every person born of a woman is a sinner. So we become aware, and all of us are very conscious of the fact that we are not doing what God expects of us. The things that we should be doing, we are not doing. The things that we should not be doing are the things we are doing. We're aware of it, very aware of it, very cognizant of it. And so because of that, we need to come to the cross. They were not only aware, but they were ashamed. And we have a lot of Christians today who are ashamed to come to God. But that's a mistake. It's a mistake to be ashamed to come to God because you're too much of a sinner. I am telling you, folks, listen, when Jesus went on that cross and died, and he said, it is finished, he took every sin, no matter how much weight it carried, and he nailed it on the cross, and he conquered sin for eternity. So whoever in this room, whatever your situation is, listen, Jesus died on the cross to bring you redemption, and you have redemption through the cross. Keep coming to Jesus. Don't walk away. It's the trick of the devil to take us away from the cross. But you need to keep coming with your burden and bringing it at the cross of Jesus. Do not be ashamed, because he's seeking us out. Jesus, God came in the garden and he said, Adam, where are you? He came looking for them. He's looking for us. All right. Now, how do we know that? Because the church is here, always open. Jesus' arms are always stretched wide open, saying, come, come. You're going, God, but you know, I said, come. It doesn't matter. Just come. It's all he's asking you to do. And they felt like they were alone when they sinned as well. Sometimes we feel lonely. We feel like we are alone, and we feel like it is only us going through a particular situation at a particular time in our lives. But folks, Jesus Christ is with us. He promised, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. He's always there. He's always been there. And so he's calling us together this morning. So here is the gospel. Adam The man in charge had become the man discharged because God threw him out of the garden because he had fallen. So Satan took over and took control just by giving Adam a meal. Just by a meal, he took over. Sometimes when you look at some of the things that cause us to sin, you wonder, after you've committed this atrocity, you look back and be like, I didn't have to do that. And this is exactly what happened. For to just bite on this apple, you know, just let me taste this. And now look where it got us. So Adam fell away from God's grace, but God promised. God made a promise. Look in Genesis 3, verse 15, says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. God was angry with the devil. And he says, I got a plan for you, O Satan. I'm going to take care of you. And God surely did. Then our Lord Jesus showed up several years later. He came as a baby in the manger, came to carry out a purpose, carry out the work of his father. God gave him the same dominion that he gave to Adam. Jesus had it when he came. Look in Matthew 28, verse 18. It says, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. I have it. So Jesus comes with authority in his hands. And then God said to him, now go in the wilderness to be tested and tempted. And that's why it reads like this in the gospel text this morning. In Matthew 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The reason, because the first Adam was tempted and he failed. So God sent a second Adam and said, go, and so that he would tempt you too. And Jesus went, and lo and behold, he was tested. And look how the story went. Jesus, the new Adam, turned the table around, the conversation around. The conversation started again with food, just like it did in the Garden of Eden. You know, one thing about the devil, he doesn't know how to change his trick. He uses the same trick over and again. And sometimes when you get mature in the Lord, you can sense him when he's present, because he comes the same old way. And so he comes with the same thing, food. Turn these stones into bread. He says to Jesus, Jesus says, no, boy, it is written. He said, I got the word. I am the word. Now yes, the devil came to test the word. Jesus is the living word of God. Remember that? In John 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. So he comes and he's testing the living word. And so he asks Jesus, turn the stone. Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He comes back again the second time. You know, he keeps coming. He comes back and says, throw yourself down. It is written, Jesus says. All right? Throw yourself down, he says, and because the Bible says that God will command his angels to take charge over you. And Jesus uses the word back at him again, that it is written, you should not test the Lord your God. All right? So Satan goes again. He comes back, and he shows up, and this time he shows Jesus the entire kingdom of the world. And he says, all this I will give to you. One thing you have to do is just bow and worship me. That's all you have to do. And Jesus says, get away, Satan. Get away. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Folks, that's why we're here this morning. We're here to worship the Lord our God and serve him only. Only. So the one man, Jesus Christ, the second Adam, came into the picture and he changed it around. And he changed it for eternity. He changed it so that all of us who have had faith in God remains in him for all eternity. He changed it when he brought us new life. He changed it. He says, now that you've given them to me, Lord, no one is able to snatch them out of my hands. So Satan, the Bible says, left. And angels took charge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the second Adam, the second one man, who came and made the decision that have changed our lives for all eternity. And as we hear this message this morning, I pray that you will go home encouraged that Jesus is the only one man. He is the only way, the only truth, the only life. No man gets to the Father except through him. I pray this morning that his words will encourage you and keep you steadfast in your faith, knowing always that God will not bring you this far and leave you, or teach you to swim and let you drown. He will never build his home in you and move away, or lift you up and let you down. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, amen. Amen.